Welcome, welcome, welcome back again to Real Talk Rangers. This is episode number 17, and my name is Greg, and I am here with my co-host Derek.
What's up, guys?
There he is. We want to go into the weekend review of the Rangers and talk about where we're at and the future, upcoming future of this team. But first, we want to get, I know it's a little bit older news at this point, but there's really no time period on it. We want to just give a quick condolence shout out to Stephen McDonald as we missed that game. We haven't talked about it. So just a quick little shout out because Stephen McDonald really meant something to anyone that follows the team and has followed the team. And he passed away last week. I actually work in the area around St. Patrick's Cathedral. And on Friday morning when I got off the train, I didn't even have to ask. There were thousands of police officers gathered on Madison and Fifth Avenue, and it was just a show of respect and solidarity from policemen from all over the city, literally blocking streets because everyone wanted to pay their respects and condolences to the McDonald family. It was really, really emotional. And then later on that night, actually his wife and son were in attendance at the Garden, and I was not in the building, but I know from watching on TV and the coverage that there were a couple different standing ovations. One of them was out of a TV timeout, and there was pretty much just a 3-4 minute just continuous ovation for his wife, for his legacy. He epitomized the spirit of human giving and forgiveness and everything that is good in the world. And I know that on Twitter, you know, a lot of the old recipients of the Stephen McDonald Extra Effort Award, such as Dubinsky.
Doobie
and Cam Talbot, everyone was paying their respects. It was just, it's a little bit emotional, but he really was a hero. It was class from all the players, class from the organization. And I thought that they did a really, really nice job. And I mean, that number should be in the rafters. So,
yeah, I think the Rangers organization did a great job, as they always do with things like this. Having them on the ice do the puck drop, and then coming out of the commercial, the nice little video that they put up on the board, and obviously the fans giving the ovation and paying their respects was great. Also, it's gonna be very emotional when they actually have Stephen McDonald night. I don't know the date off the top of my head, but I believe it's usually in March.
I think it is.
Obviously I'm sure his son will take the reins of that night, and I'm sure his wife will be there also. But I think, you know, the recipient this year, it'll be much more emotional, and there'll be a lot more emotions on the ice when the award's given out. I also agree with you that I think in time I would support having, you know, a Steve McDonald banner up in the rafters with his badge number and everything. I think he deserves it. And, you know, his legacy is going to live on whether he's in the rafters or not. But I just think that's a nice, final farewell to him there. So I think they should talk about it, and I think it probably should happen. And knowing the organization, I think it's likely, but I could see it both ways. But I think that it would at least entertain the idea of it. So
I think that's pretty accurate. I something tells me that that 104 will go up to the rafters.
I hope so.
I mean, they're class, and he's been such a big part of the team for so long after, you know, such horrible, horrible circumstances in his personal life. And just to persevere the way that he did and just embody, like I said, the spirit of everything good. It's something that really was special and is special to the team. And like you said, I'm sure they're going to continue to honor that legacy through his son and wife. Just a quick shout out to the organization. Was really happy the way
quick,
they handled it and the fans handled it.
Quick shoot on to you here. Who do you think wins it this year? I got my choice.
I'll say Zuccarello again.
I'm going Grabner.
Okay. But the thing is, I don't really know what these guys necessarily all do outside of like play hockey, like, because I know it's based on the extra effort on and off the ice, so I don't know their involvement in the community that much. I know, I mean, Zuccarello has been doing stuff for a long time. I know he was in Africa a couple summers ago promoting hockey after taking a puck to the skull. Yeah, no, I could see that going either way. Obviously, on the ice, I mean, it's hard to argue for anyone but Grabner this year.
Yeah,
but
we'll see. We'll see.
I like that, though. That's a good question. So we'll get into the actual hockey now. So, like I said, with the backdrop of it being Stephen McDonald night and, you know, wanting to go out and honor the guy, the Rangers come out off the vacation.
Stinker.
Absolute dud. Just a terrible game. They just fall. They're totally flat. They're down 2-0 after one. And then, you know, Toronto just kind of skates all over them. And Toronto actually extended their road point streak to 9 games with this win. So they beat us 4-2 on home ice on Stephen McDonald night. I might have thrown some money on the team because I thought that the emotions would help boost them. But they lose. It's not a great game for Lundqvist. It's not a great game for the team, and it was pretty disheartening knowing that the next night you're going to be up in Montreal, which is always a tough tilt.
Yeah, you know, there's so many emotions going on in that game. You think they come out with a little bit more passion. I mean, Toronto's a good team. You can't discount that, but you just hope after such an emotional night they come out, you know, strong and have a little passion there, and they just come out flat. I'm just gonna leave it right at that. I'm not gonna pick it apart, but you just hoped for better on such an emotional night.
I agree. There's not really much to say. Just a real big letdown. The next night, talk about letdowns. The next night they go up to Montreal. They're up early, and things are looking pretty good. I mean, historically, in the last couple of years, they showed the stats before the game. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but Carey Price has been incredible against the Rangers in Montreal.
Lights out.
I think he had 5 shutouts in 9 games, in his last 9 games. We really, really struggle. So we have a 1-0 lead after one. And then Montreal proceeds to eventually go ahead and score 3 goals in the span of 1 minute and 2 seconds. And in this game, they had actually, we should preface it by saying that they started out the game, they started Antti Raanta in this game.
Right, exactly. Yep.
So Raanta
and
comes
he looks
in.
Sharp.
He looks real sharp, shuts out Montreal for the first period, but towards the end of the first period where he kind of skates over to the bench, right, during, I think, the last TV timeout of the first, and motions over to Rammer and kind of signals with his leg, his lower body, and he doesn't return for the second period. So this is a relief appearance for Lundqvist, and I can't call it a relief appearance. It was an attempted appearance for Lundqvist because he wasn't even really there at all in this game.
Yeah, he gives up 2 goals in the second and 5 goals in 2 periods. So clearly not a very sharp game. And then as you alluded to, he gives up the 3 goals in 1 minute and 2 seconds in the third, which, you know, put it on the defense, put it on the goalies, put it on both of them. 3 goals in 1 minute and 2 is unacceptable no matter how you look at it. But all in all, you know, it's not a bad game. They play 57 minutes that are okay. You know, you give up a few goals, you score a few goals. It's going back and forth against a good team. And, you know, you basically shut down for 3 minutes and you basically give up a game. So it's one of those take with it, you know, what you see. You got a pretty good game for 57 minutes and a terrible game for 3 minutes. So is it overall a terrible game or just a huge letdown? It's kind of both. And, you know, Hank is the story night in and night out for the rest of the season. Really, it's going to be to see what he can do. And now with Raanta hurt, you know, you would think Hank's got to really step it up here and he's going to play the next, you know, X amount of games. I mean, I doubt they're going to start Hellberg in any of these games. So Hank's got to be the workhorse now, and can he keep up? Well, we'll find out, because when we go to Dallas, you know, we'll get to that in a second. But it's interesting. The Hank story lives on, and it's getting more interesting by the day.
It is. There is no chance Hellberg gets a start, like you said.
Right.
This is a Hank show. I mean, this is the time where they need to go out there, and he needs to prove to himself that he can still play at an elite level. This one – really, really quickly, we had actually watched this game together, and you said to me, as they came out before the second period, oh shit, here comes Hank.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Sure enough, there was a feeling. I think you actually said they're going to give up, he's going to give up a goal in the first 5 minutes of this period. And
I did. I said he's going to give up a goal in the first 5 minutes.
You said it, and he did. And it's just, like we said, it just plays into the continuing story of Hank. I mean, where is Hank right now? Where's the guy that we've seen play for 12-plus years on Broadway? This is going to, like you said, it's not going away. Even when Ronta returns, it's not going away. It's probably only going to intensify as you creep towards the playoffs, because then you're going to be in playoff mode and you want Hank getting ready, getting all the reps, because he is your starting goalie. So at the end of the day, he's still going to get all the playing time that he needs to prove himself. And really, this week has been a roller coaster. It's been up and down. But as we get into these next couple games, this was a bad one. This was a real, real bad showing from Hank in Montreal. They lose. I mean, again, it's a good Habs team. They're in first place in their division by a decent amount. Like, they're going to finish the year there. And, I mean, there's no pain. There's nothing horrible about losing to Montreal in Montreal. It's just the way in which it happened. Hank's looking to the ceiling again, up to the skies. Horrible body language. But, yeah,
he's got,
I mean,
no confidence right now.
None at all. But if he didn't have self-confidence in Montreal, then what did he have against Dallas at home on Tuesday the 17th? So after the Montreal game, they come back to the Garden. You know, Hank's, he's saying all the right things. You know, he's saying, I got to find myself. I got to reach deep down and get back to where I know I can be. And he comes out and he gives up seven. He gives up seven at home against a Dallas team that was pretty much reeling. I mean, they're not good. And that's a team that we should be beating. And he gives up seven. The Rangers battle back in that game. Actually, pretty valiant attempt. And it looked for a second like they were going to get something out of this game, which is a big shocker considering how lopsided the score was. But, I mean, he gives up seven and he says, I feel like it's embarrassing and frustrating and disappointing at the same time. That's what Lundqvist says. So,
with his head down and a hat on.
Yes. And might have been a tear streaming. So,
yeah. I mean, one of the more degrading interviews I think I've ever seen in my life, specifically coming from someone like Lundqvist, who has such charisma and, you know, and is so proud of what he can do. Mm-hmm. His interviews the last couple of weeks, like I said, he, you know, head down, brim over his eyes, not looking at anybody, basically just saying, I have no confidence, I can't stop a puck, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
The interesting stat is, you know, Hellberg actually comes in the third in that game because, you know, Lundqvist just plays a terrible two periods. And the really interesting thing, first of all, Hellberg, I've seen him a few times over the last few years.
He's a big
guy. Is he like 8 feet tall?
He's huge.
Because when he's hunched over in the crease, he's like taller than the net, and that's not normal for a goalie.
Yeah, he's enormous.
He's like a 6 foot. I think he's 6 foot six. Like, he's a monster. Anyways, but Lundqvist, when he got pulled, had given up 12 goals on 49 shots in the last four periods he played. So that's the Montreal and the Dallas game, basically. That comes out to an 8.03 save percentage.
Ooh.
So 8.03. So, you know, he's not stopping many pucks. And again, is it the defense? Is it the goalie situation? A little bit of both, probably. Yeah. But 8.03 is not – I mean, that's not even bottom-tier NHL level. Not saying that Lundqvist isn't, but he's just going through a really rough stretch. You know, after this game, they lose three in a row. They battle back and – I didn't think they were ever going to tie it, but then again, I didn't think they would pull it to 7-6 either.
Right.
So, you know, another stinker, and, you know, you just keep saying to yourself, when is this team going to turn it around? / holy shit, they have to turn it around because they are dropping in the standings.
Exactly.
And we're going to go into standings at you know, in the other half of the interview here, but yeah, it's we're falling. Let's just put it that way.
We're falling. That's the thing. And I think even last week on the show, we had said that the Rangers, one of their main characteristics that we've loved to see this whole year is that they bounce back and they don't let a loss linger, and they come back out and they beat the shit out of teams after a loss. I think they started the year like 10-0 after a loss.
Yeah, and so, now they just
like
lost
you just said, they dropped three in a row. One was Stephen McDonald night. One was you're up 1-0 after one, and another one you're playing Dallas at home, and they're bad. So three games in a row when you lose, and you probably should have won. You could have won at least two, probably three of them. And so I think after Tuesday night, the Hank hate and just the mystery of are we going to be okay with Lundqvist right now was at an all-time high. Because it's – I mean, you can't help but turn off that game and go, oh, man, we're in trouble. Lundqvist does not look good. So, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, looking – oh, is Halak a free agent? It's bad. It's bad news, sure. Bears. And so then you go up on Thursday the 19th. We're up in Toronto. And this is a statement game. McDonough called it a statement game. Lundqvist called it a statement game. Although every game now Lundqvist is a statement game now. But absolutely. The team really did, before the game, talk about it. And after the game, they also talked about it. And I like the spirit of, listen, we're dropped. They know where they're at. Their heads are not in the sand on this. They came out and they said, listen, we're dropping in the standings. These teams in the Metro are too good. We cannot be losing three in a row because you see what happens. Then you drop 5-6 points behind these other teams into the wild card. And they came out in Toronto and they played a good game. I thought that this was a good game. I thought the Lundqvist played a really good game, which was weird to see because it's been quite some time. But he came out, they played well, they win 5-2. Michael Grabner scores twice. Fucking Grabner has 21 goals on the year. One of those was shorthanded against Toronto, his former team. And it was actually interesting hearing the quotes after the game from his ex-teammates and line mates saying, yeah, Grabner probably could have scored 25 last year. They said he had all the chances. It was all the same thing. He had a breakaway game. But he didn't have puck luck last year. And clearly he's got puck luck because he's just piling up goals now. But it was a big bounce back. Stepan and McDonough were talking about we really needed to play better in front of Lundqvist, especially in the crease area. Brady Shea had a good game, and it was just a good bounce back attempt by the Rangers. They had a couple days after to rest up too, so I thought that this was a big one, get back on track. Pretty good effort overall.
Yeah, all these games are coming to the point where you almost don't even talk about the offense. You're really just focusing on Hank, and because you know your season is gonna depend on Hank, and that's
Hank and the defense. Yes.
Right. That's kind of the spotlight, you know, going to be for the next couple months here. But that being said, he made 23 saves, so he didn't have, you know, he wasn't tested all that much.
But a few of those saves were real quality chances. Mitch Marner, he made a great play on Marner. Yep. Cut away the speed and the angle. And that was a play that he wasn't making in those other games. So, I mean, I think he made a good save early on in the game because the Rangers kind of cleared the crease a little bit early. Mm-hmm. There was a very early shot attempt from the point, and they cleared the crease so that he was able to see the puck. And he makes the save. And, I mean, obviously, the Rangers have not been starting all that hot. It seems like every game Lundqvist was giving up a goal on the first couple shots of the game. So, it was good. Yeah, he saw it, made a stop, and I think his confidence started building. And from there, like you said, the team in front of him did a better job limiting chances. A lot of shots were from the blue line or the corner. The corner. Shout out Rick Jeanneret. But I think that overall it was a better effort, and that's the way that they need to keep playing. Toronto's a pretty good team this year. Like you said, we were talking about earlier, they're right now they're in the playoffs. So they're well ahead of schedule. They're a fun team to watch. And it was a good effort overall. So I was happy with the way that it went there.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that he's seeing shots because I wanted to – this is the quote from Lundqvist after the game. So granted he's had, you know, 3-4 bad games in a row. Then he comes into Toronto, plays a pretty good game. But this is his quote from after the game. I didn't see that many shots, but it was pretty good scoring chances every time they had a shot. When I'm in this situation I'm in, every save matters, every good decision, every good thing you do out there, I try to think, okay, that's a good action, and then you just build off that. So here's the thing for me. Clearly this is a guy who has no confidence, who's just trying to work on every little thing in his game to make his game better. The problem is he has an okay game in Toronto. He gives up 2 goals, they win. Okay, great. His confidence is up a little bit. But it's not going to mean a goddamn thing until he puts four or five of those together. If the team can put four or five, six, seven, eight, 10, 15 wins together, and he can play well in all those, his confidence will go up, and then our confidence as fans will also go up. But, you know, he can't have one game where he gives up two goals and they play well in front of him, and then, you know, today against Detroit, he's going to give up six. It just can't happen. There has to be consistency for confidence to grow. And yes, it's a good stepping stone. He had a good game. Okay. But now he's got to have two, three, four, five. You get what I'm saying? I mean, it has to be consistent.
I completely get what you're saying. And I think that you're not going to have to wait very long to find out if that consistency is going to be back. Because, like we said, it's Sunday today. They're in Detroit. Tomorrow night, they're home against LA. And then Wednesday, they're home against Philly. And he's going to start every one of those games, and he's going to have a chance to get back into that mode where we're not worrying about Hank. And for some weird reason, I expect him to come through. I think that he's going to have a good game in Detroit and build off that. The Kings are having a bit of a down year, and then Philadelphia, I mean, we know Philadelphia. They don't have tremendous defense, so hopefully our offense can guide us a little. I think that he's going to bounce back. I mean, it's hard for me to not bet on Lundqvist just after everything he's been through. I think the team understands the urgency at this point, and this is a good chance to get some points here. None of these teams are all too, you know, dominant on the year. I like where we're at. I'm not gonna say I like it. I think I'm content right now with where we're at. Try to build off these games and take some points away and get back into the Metropolitan Division playoffs.
Yeah, typically speaking, with Lundqvist of late, you pretty much know within the first 10 minutes what kind of game you're going to get.
Yes, you do. That is true. Right away.
If he's you know, lights up, you know, a couple great saves in the first 5 minutes, you know you're going to have a good game. And then, you know, 10 minutes into the game, if he's given up two goals already, you know what you're going to get. So that doesn't mean you can win or lose. You know, you can still score eight goals and win a game, even if he gives up five or six. But true. You kind of get a feeling very quick with Lundqvist lately. So
yeah, you know. You just know right away.
Yep.
But yeah,
and
so,
that being said, Detroit's a bad team. So
exactly. This one, you got to win. You got to take.
Right.
But yeah, so and it's funny. We haven't even talked about the offense at all. But we will get into the offense a little bit. We'll also get into around the league after the break. But right now, we want to kick it to our guest segment. We were extremely excited to welcome on Dave Melroy. And he is a video producer at NHL.com, does game highlights and stuff like that. He's pretty much living the dream.
Dream job.
Is what we've gathered from our little talk with him. So, yeah, here we go, and hope you guys enjoy. All right, now we are excited to welcome on a guest, Dave Melroy, here. So, Dave is a video producer for NHL.com, correct?
Yes, that is right.
Nice. Okay, so I guess just first and foremost, if you could just kind of describe your job generally. I know you kind of oversee some of the highlights that are picked for individual games, right, on NHL.com?
Yeah, so what I do, so I used to work for NHL, the league, for 3 years before they transferred over kind of all their digital rights to a different company. Oddly enough, it's baseball. Yeah. So what I used to do for the NHL was me and a couple guys would sit in a room, and we'd watch all the games during a night, and sort of we decide what's good, what's worth cutting, what's worth going on the website, and then we would do that. And so now what I do for this new company is I oversee kind of a team of like 30 to 40 people. Half of them are editors, half of them kind of write the titles, descriptions, and do all the publishing. And so I just sort of make sure that everything that you should see on a given hockey night, you actually see on NHL.com. And so it's sort of my job to make sure all the good stuff's out there and you can all find it.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, that's pretty important because I get most of my updates right from NHL.com, as I'm sure most people do. It's kind of the go-to.
Well, you kind of just described to me as kind of every hockey fan's fantasy. I don't know.
Yeah,
so you pretty much just sit in a room, watch hockey highlights.
I got to be honest. It's one of those jobs where it's got weird hours because, you know, we got to stay up for all the West Coast games. But
but
at the end of the day, man, you're sitting with a bunch of dudes that you get along with, and you're just sort of watching hockey, talking hockey all night. It's really not too bad at all.
That sounds pretty dreamy to me.
Sign me up if you can. I'd like to join you.
Yeah, hey, we're always looking.
So I was under, I think a few years ago, I was under this understanding that every NHL team sort of had their own website that they ran, and the NHL just kind of let them run whatever they wanted. And then I think recently, within the last few years, the NHL actually took a lot of the sites over. Is that what kind of happened?
So what happens, I'm not sure how long ago or if teams actually ran their websites, but basically the way it works is that NHL runs all the teams' websites. So being on a Rangers podcast, the Rangers in particular weren't thrilled with that. They thought they could do it their own way, and you know,
Blue Shirts United.
Shirts United, as you guys know.
Yeah.
So basically NHL.com runs all the teams' websites. That's why they all look pretty much identical and everything. But as far as I know, for at least the last 5 or 6 years, it's all been run by the league. Yeah.
So they've kind of taken like it's a central hub now. Like, you guys have to try to be totally objective and not throw bias in any way, and kind of just make sure that every team's highlights are like evenly spread out through their sites.
Exactly. So my big thing is I'm really like a big fan of giving the unknown guys like some good like front page action.
Yeah. No, that's good.
You know, it gets boring if it's Sidney Crosby, Alexander Ovechkin on the front page every night. It's just, you know, you're never going to learn of new players that way. So
yeah.
I personally really like giving random, I just call them scrubs.
Pigeons, yeah.
Give them their due time in the spotlight. So, but I mean, with that said, you know, you can't not put a nice Sidney Crosby goal on the front page sometimes. So
true.
It's a balance, but, you know, as much as we can give the little guys some love, we love doing that.
I like that. No, that's good. So I guess the next question would be, when you are selecting these highlights, like,
because
I know, I guess sometimes for like the game recaps, you can't really put all the goals in, obviously, because, you know, you're trying to condense the actual highlight.
Yeah.
Right. Do you have a specific type of criteria that you're looking for in determining, you know, which goals make it, like the pretty ones, or if a guy hits a milestone or something like that?
So that's a good question. So in our recaps, we do generally try and show all the goals. Obviously, the nicer goals, so, you know, breakaways, nice moves, great passes, whatever it is, we'll try and flush those out a little bit more, give them some more replays. You know, if it's just a wrist shot from the blue line, it's like we might show that. Mm-hmm. And then in the time, editing-wise, basically in the time that, say, Sam Rosen's done giving his goal call. Yeah,
great shout-out, by the way. We appreciate that here.
So in the time that he's done, you know, saying, oh, and Matt Zuccarello lights the lamp for the Rangers lead, in that, like, 4 seconds, we'll give the whole replay. Whereas, you know, whatever, Stepan scores a beautiful goal, you know, then we'll actually go a little bit into the analysis and show good 20 seconds of sort of that analysis and just more better replays, that sort of thing. But, you know, deciding that stuff really comes down to a feel sort of thing. It's kind of why we're paid to do what we do, because in theory, you know, knock on wood, we actually know what we're doing. So it's, you know, it's a feel thing. And a lot of it's just gauging the room. So, you know, we are based out of Secaucus, New Jersey, so there's a lot of Rangers fans, Devils fans, Islanders fans there. So, you know, for those ones, it's easy because it's really just a feel of, like, how's the room react? Like, if you're watching the game and you see, like, 10 different guys gasp, like, well, that's probably a moment that's good.
Yeah.
But, it gets tough when you get, like, the weird teams, I'll call them, if you're not on the East Coast of the United States, like the Winnipeg Jets, where it's like, who's this Mark Scheifele guy? I guess he's good. That was a cool play. So that's, you know, being there for 6 years, it's like now I actually know who the Winnipeg Jets are, and I can tell you who their key players are. But it's definitely tough for a lot of, like, the new editors and producers trying to judge, like, you know, not just great plays, but who are the marquee guys and who are the guys you got to look out for. And even if it's not something as spectacular, like, you know, it's worth knowing that, I don't know, Nathan MacKinnon did something compared to, you know, one of the less known players on the team.
So do you guys ever have any heated arguments about what kind of highlights are going to get on and off?
Oh, yeah. So especially back in the NHL, It was me and my buddy Jeff Rubin, my coworker at the time, and we were pretty much the guys running that department. And he's a savage Washington Capitals fan.
Oof.
Yeah, I know, right?
We can gross. Gross.
Hey, they look great once again in the middle of January. So hey.
Yeah, we can touch on them later. We could touch on the whole Metropolitan
catastrophe. Man, so much to say, yeah. So
but
dominant.
Yes, they're absolutely nice. So we used to program, it was called the video module. So when you used to go on NHL.com, there was a kind of a row, sort of on like the bottom third of the front page, that was all video stuff. And, you know, it would be, you know, if Ovechkin did something good, it's like, all right, he'd want that there. And I'd be like, well, you know, these other three things happened that were pretty cool. And when it is like two guys of equal, you know, stature in the company, you know, there would definitely be nights where, like, you know, you kind of let the person go with it. But you kind of, you know, you're looking at me like, hey, you really think that was a good play? And then, you know, it's like something you bring up like 3 weeks down the road. Be like, well, yeah, you thought that, that probably was good. But, nobody really watched that video. So there are definitely, there's a lot of, it's, you know, so we have a lot of men and women, but there's, you know, it's hockey. So there's a lot of guys, and it's, you know, when you're hanging out with each other for 8-10 hours a day, 5 days a week, you know, you get to know each other pretty well. So there's a lot of like ribbing and, you know, oh yeah, great play there, man. That kind of stuff. So it's fun. But at the end of the day, you know, it's really a team effort, and it's just, honestly, it's just gauging, you know, if you're home just hanging out, drinking a beer or whatever, and you just want to watch some hockey, you know, that's kind of the mindset I try and take when I'm picking these plays. It's like, all right, well, if I'm home at night, you know, I crack open a couple beers and I'll watch some hockey clips. Like, what do I want to watch? And usually it's just gut reactions. And, you know, we have to be very careful with hits, and we can't show fights on NHL.com anymore.
Wow.
But, you know, like to me, like, who doesn't love watching like hits, right?
Yeah, wow.
Like, it's stuff like that. Like, I'll even, heck, man, like I used to take a big hit over like a cool goal just because it's like, you know, when you're looking for an online video, you're really looking for that 15 to 20 seconds of like, oh, wow.
Yeah, that share media, social media shareable play. I totally understand that. Wow, so what you just said kind of struck me there. You're not allowed to show fights anymore. When was that rule implemented?
So that must have taken place probably about three years ago. We stopped doing them. I'm sorry, that's not true. 2 years ago, we stopped doing them entirely.
Wow.
And then hits we've kind of cut back to just because – you know, I mean, I get it. It's the concussion thing. It's not fair for the players to, you know, be complaining about all these concussion rights, and yet the league's making money off of, like, showing these potentially dangerous plays. So, you know, I get it. And there are other ways to watch the fights on the internet, so it's not like they don't exist out there. But, you know, I absolutely get from the league standpoint that on the league website, it's not a good look to be potentially benefiting from anything that could injure one of their players.
If you think back a little bit, could you think of a specific fight or hit that kind of triggered this domino effect of them putting less of that,
you know,
onto the site?
So the way it happens, the fight to me that I'll never forget is when Ray Emery essentially assaulted Braden Holtby.
Yeah,
he did.
And I'm not saying that's the fight that did it. You know, it goes year to year, and it really stems from the NFL, if we're being honest. The NFL's concussion thing is,
right,
you know,
spreading.
It's out of this world.
Yeah.
So, you know, all the other leagues sort of look at it and say, well, we don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting if you think about, though, you know, in the games themselves, there's less hitting, less fighting throughout the last 5-10 years, and now how that quickly translates onto the website. Obviously, less hitting and fighting in the actual games leads to less on the websites. And then eventually, 5-10 years from now, who knows, maybe there's going to be no fighting and no big hits.
Yeah, I think the league has already kind of started moving towards a phase out entirely.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, you certainly 100% see the refs jump in there a whole lot quicker than you used to.
Yeah.
And I mean, personally, I like fighting in the game. That's my own personal stance on it. I think it keeps sort of the players in check. I think if you sort of listen to the old school hockey guys just talking about it, I mean, it really is, you know, the reason some of these great players don't get hurt is because of fighting. And because of the guys who are willing to drop the gloves, that are willing to stick up for, you know, can you imagine if no one could fight for Zuccarello when he gets like obliterated because he's 5'4"? Like,
well that's pretty much what we have already. Like,
welcome to Rangers hockey. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Hey, Dylan McElrath, right?
Oh, he's gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Our one fighter left.
Sore subject. Yeah.
I know. But yeah, I mean, I like fighting. I like what it does for the game, but I certainly understand in where we are with kind of just politics and sports that it's you know, it probably will be on its way out.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. So I guess one last question here for the NHL.com, like, highlight sure. stuff and the metrics. Who exactly makes up these headlines for the league? I know, because some of them have just been fantastic. Like, I've quoted Step On Up and, like, Halak Down for years now. So some clever fellows in there.
So when I was at the NHL.com, or NHL, sorry, when I was working for the league, we used to have a lot of fun with that sort of stuff. So a lot of that, I mean, I'm not going to take credit for those specifically, but, like, we had a lot of fun making up those names. So it's just sort of guys with too much free time on their hands is what I would tell you. Men and women with too much free time on their hands, making up that stuff. But we would definitely play around with it. Before actually I was there, they had a lot of leniency with, like, namings of titles and stuff like that. And they did. I remember they did one night where every clip they did was, like, the name of a song or a song lyric.
That's nice.
Yeah. So it's just, man, you have a lot of free time watching a lot of hockey like that. So you just come up with weird stuff like that. And, you know, when you're hanging out with a bunch of like dudes or, you know, just friends, you know, you kind of like, oh, that's a good one. And then it's like, should we put it up? Yeah, let's do it. Like, people might hate it, they might like it, whatever. So I used to work for the NFL and one of the NFL films. I was an intern. I talked to Steve Sable, and one of the things that he said that always stuck with me is, you'll never soar like an eagle if you're only willing to shit like a canary or crinkle like a canary. And I think there's a lot to that. Like, you know, you'll never reach your full potential in anything you do if you're only ever willing to make little mistakes. So I'd rather come up with a stupid title that I hear from my boss the next day. I was like, oh, that was stupid. Don't do that again. And then potentially, you know, hit a home run where it's like, I'll hear from my boss the next day. Like, that was a great headline.
Right.
And it's kept me in the business this long. So
awesome.
What you just described, that's kind of what I imagined it to be, but I was kind of hoping you were going to tell me there was just like a guy in a room that just sits there all day long and writes headlines. And then when you guys need something, you just go to him and say, like, all right, we need this. And he just spits it out. And it's like the best thing to ever happen.
Sitting in the dark by himself.
Yeah, sitting in the dark.
It's like
the
Minority Report where we give him like player, second period. And then they just generate something.
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
The headline guy.
Yeah, I mean, that is actually the truth. I wasn't supposed to talk about it.
Okay.
Guy locked up in a cage. So
yeah, it's a top secret NHL.com.
Yeah.
We appreciate
we don't talk
you
about Milton very often.
Breaching confidentiality for us.
Yeah. Oh, God, Gary Bettman's talking
about that. Yeah, speaking of Gary Bettman, I know the last time we talked, you would mention a little Gary Bettman story. Would love to hear you share that if you feel like it.
Okay, sure. Yeah. So I was working at the NHL at the time, and obviously you can't see him or see me, but through my voice, if you can tell, I'm not. I don't put on a suit to go to work. I'm a flannel jean wearing kind of guy, and so
hockey
guy. You know, I don't do my laundry as much as I should either. You know, whatever. So you know, we at the NHL we had to dress pretty nice, jeans. You know, no tears, like a button down shirt. So I made the great choice to wear white socks with brown kind of dress shoe, like boat shoes,
okay.
Those types of things.
Some Sperry's,
so you
yeah.
could just very much see my white socks, and I get onto the elevator, and lo and behold, who's standing before me but Gary Bettman. And the man doesn't say a single word to me. He just has the world's slowest look down at my socks. As he very slowly looks up at me in my eye, and he just kind of gave this, like, disgusted little look at me.
God.
And it was like, oh, no.
You should have just instantly started booing him, because that's pretty much all he gets. So.
He'd be used to it.
You know what? I got to say, that guy, he gets a lot of flack. And, you know, certainly all the whole lockout thing's not going to do him any favor. But, you know, you got to look at the way the state of the league really is in. And they have done some good stuff. And, sure, there's probably one too many outdoor games a year. But the league's, I got to say, it's in pretty good shape. And a lot of that is to him. A lot of that's to Bill Daly.
Mm-hmm.
They really do a good job, and I understand why they're not popular with the fans. You know when you lock out as many times as they have in his tender, it's tough. But you know, he's certainly no Roger Goodell.
No.
He doesn't try and become the czar of the league, but you know, he's always, hey, I loved working for the NHL. I love what I do now, and, you know, I wouldn't be here without him in some form, so I don't have any complaints against him.
Well, that's a fair take. Fair take.
Yeah.
All right, you want to get into a little Devils hockey, a little Devils Rangers talk, maybe?
Hey, how about our star goaltenders, huh?
Oh, wow. Yeah, so much for the big name guys, Schneider and Hank, coming through here.
Oh, God, it's been strange, right? Right? You both go to Las Vegas at this point.
Pretty much. Yeah, I'd love that.
Right?
Although I'm a little bit worried that they might take Ranta, but we'll see. We'll see what happens there. First off, what are your thoughts on the Larson Hall trade? Because I know you do have yourself an all-star in Taylor Hall.
Well, who would have been the all-star if he wasn't there? Travis Zajac?
Wow.
Yeah, so that trade actually, believe it or not, happened on my birthday, and I'll never forget it. I was sitting out at lunch with my wife and my mom, and I got a text from one of my coworkers. Just said, Taylor Hall, exclamation question mark. So, you know, what's going on here? Devs got Taylor Hall. So then it's like you start running through your head, and you're like, what the hell do we have that we could get Taylor Hall? And you're like, well, I guess Corey Schneider's gone. Like, that's weird. Mm. And then my buddy goes, Adam Larson. It's like, okay, well, Adam Larson, how many first-round picks? It's like, none, just Adam Larson. Okay. So, I mean, it's literally one of the more absurd trades I've ever heard in my life in hockey.
Very weird.
Adam Larson, while a strong technical defenseman, he also never – like, you know, what I like in a defenseman, especially being a Devils fan, is a Scott Stevens type, someone who's going to, you know, lay wood, you know, shoulder to shoulder.
Destroy people's careers.
Adam Larson literally – I don't mean to knock the guy, but he looked scared and intimidated out there for most of his career as a Devil. And it's not like, you know, his plus minuses weren't great. Basically, he was very good at a one-touch pass, and that was kind of his game. So to get Taylor Hall, who I believe – I mean, he leads the team in points, only playing 32 games. And granted, he's not having a great season, but it's just like – How did this happen?
Right.
So, yeah, it's been a tremendous trade for the Devils. And the Devils' defense hasn't been great. But, I mean, to get Taylor Hall, who's under contract, I think, for 3 or 4 more years at $6 million per, I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty dynamic offensively. But the entire – I think the overall team, I mean, I guess you're really feeling the absence of Larson maybe more than would have been expected originally. I think last year –
I'm not so sure it's Larson, and the Devil's back blue line.
Yeah, it can't just be one guy.
But it's really – you know what? It's really just the non-emergence of players is really what I think it comes down to. 5 years ago, we all thought Adam Henrique was going to be the next 80-point getter, and he just hasn't been that guy. Mm-hmm. He's just – he's a number two center, frankly. I mean, Mike Camilleri – like, I'm looking at the stats right now, and you got a bunch of 20-point getters, whereas the Rangers have, I think, 5 31-point getters.
Yeah.
I mean – so, they're just not playing well, frankly. As much as I like John Hines, they don't seem terribly well coached. It seems like the Devils have 2 or 3 new forwards and defensemen in the lineup every other night. So it's just, there's no great continuity with the team other than the, like, maybe like 6 or 7 forwards and say 4 defensemen. So it's just, it's been a struggle, and just the Metropolitan Division being what it is, it's, you know, there's no hope for the playoffs, frankly. I really just don't know where you go with some of these guys. Like, what do you do with Adam Henrique? What do you do with Mike Camilleri? Kyle Palmieri's great, but, like, how much do you want to pay these guys? You don't want to – I don't frankly want to pay these guys $5 million per, and that's kind of what they're going to get from another team in free agency. And then the blue line, it's like – Andy Green's got like 3 more years on $5 million per.
Wow.
And it's like he's at a negative 11 right now and he's got no points.
Yep.
Frankly, the Devils don't look particularly inspired by their captainship. So it's like, I don't know what you do there, man.
Right.
And then we have a slew of good young goaltenders, which is great, but I think Keith Kincaid's a free agent. We might lose Scott Wedgwood possibly in the expansion draft to Las Vegas. So it's just sort of – it's kind of a roster of guys that you like, but it's like, do you really want to make them the future kind of is, mm-hmm. is what I would say with the franchise. So it's not – they're not in need of a full rebuild, but damn do they need some talent injected into the lineup.
Yeah, I think the biggest surprise this year for me looking at the Devils has been Palmieri. I mean, last year he has a career year. He had 30 goals, 27 assists. Everyone expects him to come back this year and have a good season. Yep. Halfway through the year, he's got – 9 goals and 16 assists. So he's having a very, very down year. compared to the year before. And, you know, his entire career, he's maxed out at about 14 goals. So was it a standout year, or can you expect it maybe him to come back next year with a big year? That's the big question.
Was last year a contract year for Palmieri?
Yeah, so I believe he was an RFA last offseason, and they signed him, I believe, to like a 3-year deal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's amazing that people are on contract.
He's in for
years.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
But it's just kind of a weird time for the Devils right now. It's like they're sort of that they're not a girl, not yet a woman type thing, where they're just they can't hang, frankly. They can't hang with the Blue Jackets, they can't hang with the Capitals, Penguins, Rangers. I would say they're in between the Flyers and the Hurricanes and talent level, and it's not good enough. It's not gonna bring playoffs in the next couple of years. And if you're not doing that and you're not one of the worst teams, are you really going to get better? You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I don't know. It's tough.
Do you think that, I don't know, maybe the glass half full a little bit to play the devil's advocate?
Sign this guy up for headlines.
Let's go. Put me in the room.
My job. You can be Milton. out of his box.
But yeah, so Schneider's been horrible this year. I mean, he's sitting there with a 2.73 goals against.
And it's not been good. It's been bad.
Yeah, like bad goals.
Hasn't been great,
I have him on fantasy.
Tough goals.
Yeah, so but he can't really get a lot worse, right? I mean, just his career trajectory, he's not even that old, I don't think. And like
he's 29, I believe.
Yeah, like he's been pretty great for his career. He's really good last year. I mean, a couple great years here. So maybe if he turns it on a little bit and these other guys start playing up to their potential and their expectations where you thought that they might be playing. You know, maybe a guy like Parenteau doesn't have to lead the team in goal scoring and stuff like that. Like Camilleri, as you mentioned, Henry.
God, that's so sad that you even mentioned that.
I apologize.
The team in goal scoring.
I apologize. It's pretty sad. But hey, maybe, I mean, you could possibly catch the Flyers. They are not at all a scary team. I don't think they're threatening in any way. They could easily slide with their horrible goaltending.
Flyers are just interesting, man, because you just have that dynamic trio on offense.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Voracek, Drew, and Simmons, those guys are good, man. But, you know, they're streaky, so I get what you're saying. But, it's just – Devils really need to have a strong four lines, and they kind of don't. Like, it's just – it's tough right now.
Mm. Yeah, the Devils have kind of always been built around their defense and their goaltending. And it's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I was just looking back at the last 3 years. Every year, the last 3 years, they've had more goals against than goals for on, you know, per game. Obviously, you can't win games like that, but their offense has been about a 2.2 goals for per game for the last 3 years, and it's even down even more this year so far. It's hard to win games scoring 2 goals in this league nowadays.
Oh yeah,
and not playing the trap style offense anymore. It's you know, we're not going to win. Like you guys said, and like the Devil's record shows, we're not going to win with that offensive output. And it's just, I don't know where you get it from. And, like, the weird thing is the Devil's best offensive defenseman, Damon Severson, is a minus 26.
League leader.
So,
yes.
So it's like, what the hell is the point of him even getting these points if he literally can't play defense?
He's a turnstile, yeah.
So it's like, and Devils did this with Eric Gyllenhaal a couple years ago, where it's like, they're like, oh, you love his shot. And you're like, yeah, that's all good and well, but like, dude's given up 3 breakaways a game, and like one or two of them turned to goals. Like, what's the point of having the shot? So, man, it's tough right now.
Yeah.
We're struggling.
Yeah. All right. I guess last question that I had for you here. Who is your most hated New York Ranger of all time?
Oh, Sean Avery.
Done. No, yeah, we knew it.
I almost feel like that's a fake answer, though. Like, that's just so easy that I can't give it. So if I had to give him, it's Mateau. I mean, 1994.
Okay, yeah.
My mom wouldn't let me stay up to watch the final game 7 in overtime. So I remember, I'll never forget, it's one of those sports moments that's sadly ingrained in most sports fans' heads, is I remember waking up, going to, God, I was probably in third grade at the time, Mom, did they win? David, I'm so sorry. And I just cried because the Devils were just, they should have won that series. And then Mark Messier got all bold, made his predictions and whatnot. I don't need to recount the rest of that tale.
No.
But it was just, that. And then, you know, it's hard to hate on like Leach. Graves, I've met Adam Graves. He's a wonderful man.
He really is.
wonderful human being. Yeah. And then Mark Messier seems like a stand-up guy. So, I mean, Sean Avery's just – it's so easy to hate Sean Avery. So
the Avery rule. Yeah.
The answer.
Yeah, the Sean Avery, Marty Brodeur, you know, going back and forth those few years was one of the greatest rivalries player to player I think I've ever seen.
Yep.
It was fun to watch, man. Facts it up. Was really fun to watch.
Yeah.
All right. Well, those are all our tough questions for you today.
Hey, man. Real tough.
Yeah, man. Sorry to put you through the ringer there. But, yeah, we want to thank you for coming on.
Absolutely.
Definitely informative there, getting some of the insider content for the website. Yep. And yeah, so thanks a lot, man, and good luck to the Devils. I say that obviously not meaning it, but good luck the rest of the way.
Hopefully we tank and somehow get a top three draft pick, right?
That's maybe more likely, yeah.
No, not really. It's actually a pretty bad year for draft, so take that, Las Vegas.
Right, exactly. Enjoy. But thanks again, man. Thanks a lot.
Hey, guys, anytime. I'd be happy to come on anytime you want me to.
All right, awesome. Thanks, Dave.
All right, you guys, take care.
You too.
All right, and that was our awesome guest segment with Dave Melroy. We just want to thank him one more time. Had an excellent time talking hockey with a guy on the inside, a guy that's unfortunately a New Jersey Devils fan, although I still think they could challenge for a playoff spot. But let's quickly move on to the week – not even the week ahead. We discussed the games already. I mean, do you want to just talk about maybe some Metropolitan Division foes and how they're faring so far? Maybe the Capitals.
I'd like to talk about the Caps real quick. I mean, they're unbelievable. They just extended their point streak to 13 games. They're 9-0-1 in their last 10, with an overall record of 31-9-6, 68 points, top of the Metropolitan, top of the Eastern, and are they top of the NHL? I believe so. Yeah,
top of the NHL. Yeah.
Yeah, top of the NHL. So, you know, this is a team that struggled early on, and people had some doubts of what was going on. Holpe struggled a little bit, and there they are in January, top of the league again. And this is kind of what we expect of the Caps. The thing that worries me, and we talked about this earlier, is that the Caps usually for the last few years have started off very strong, stayed at the top, looking down on everyone else. Caps fans, like Caps fans are, typically saying, you know, we're so good, this is the year we're going to make a run in the playoffs, and they never do. So what worries me this year is that they struggled very early, learned their team identity, and now are unstoppable. So this year, have they peaked at the right time? Or I'll leave this question to you. Did they again peak too early?
Well, time will tell. I want to start off by saying I'm a little bit worried about the Capitals because they're only 1-4 in the shootout. So, no, but legit, I mean, they are fucking streaking right now. I did unfortunately get a text from our prior guest, Alex Viana. He said, wow, it feels so good to be back on top of the division. And you know what?
What'd you text him back?
I sent back, as is tradition, the Capitals peaking in mid-January.
And probably you should wait to talk until, you know, May or June.
I got no response back. I think that one just set right in. Hit him in the heartstrings there. But yeah, I mean, like you said, this year's different because they didn't jump out the gate and dominate from the beginning. And so they haven't really been on cruise control. Well, they've been on cruise control, but that's because of their dominant play. It hasn't necessarily been because there's nothing to play for. I think that they are right in the middle of a serious race. Obviously, Columbus is right there, 2 points behind them, even though they're 5-5 in their last 10. But Pittsburgh could always challenge for the division. They're just teams. I mean, the division is just such fire this year that they're going to need to continue to play well in order to win the division and get home ice again, although home ice has not treated them all too kindly in the playoffs. It bears mentioning, as I'm sure most Ranger fans with Capitals fan friends know, that Alexander Ovechkin still has never played in a conference finals. Never.
Correct.
So he has never gotten out of the second round, as dominant as he's been. The Capital Curse. I don't know that they're peaking at the right time because I still think it's pretty damn early. I mean, they've played 46 of 82 games. We're in late January here, so there's plenty of time for them to slow down and or you know, cruise to the point where it's like, okay, well, we're going to just get ready for the playoffs, and then the playoffs come and they're not kicking it into high gear because they're playing a team that had to battle and basically play playoff games for the last month of the year. I think there really is something to be said for that, by the way. These teams that get in on these streaks at the bottom, like the second wild card spot, you know that team will have beaten like two or three other teams by a point or two and just play these division games and just playoff atmosphere for the last 3 weeks of the year. And then they come in and they're just ready to go, and the Capitals need to kick it up into high gear. Now, I do not expect them to lose in the first round. I mean, they're probably going to at least get to the second round at a bare minimum, but I would still be – I mean, I don't think the Capitals fans are going to get too excited because they've seen this before, and hopefully as Ranger fans they're going to see this again.
Well, here's an interesting scenario that you just sparked in my mind. You say Washington likely gets into the second round, but let me throw this at you.
Yeah.
If Washington finishes one, they could potentially play the Rangers.
Yes.
So do they make the second round? Maybe. I think it's interesting. The wild card race is going to be interesting. In my opinion, sorry guys, but I think we're going to end up in a wild card slot. I just don't see us beating Pittsburgh, Columbus, or Washington for the top three in the Metro. So that puts us into a wild card.
But I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, and I don't – yeah, you're right. I don't think it's a bad thing because do you necessarily want to play Columbus or Pittsburgh or potentially Washington? Not really. But what I will say is Toronto, watch out. Toronto is right behind us in the wild card. They're 8 points behind us, so it sounds like a lot, but they've played two less games. So potentially only 4 points behind us when they catch up. They're playing really good hockey. Freddie Anderson's been very steady back there, steady Freddie.
Yep.
You know, they have the young kind of enthusiasm. And they're unbelievable on the road. So even if they play road games, they're perfectly fine there. They've proven that they can score goals. I would say they're probably the second wild card team. I don't think Philly or Carolina have enough to really catch them there. That being said, there's about 10 teams in the East that could make the playoffs that are out. But,
right.
I just think it's interesting that Washington could potentially get a Rangers opponent in the first round, or even potentially a kind of scary Toronto team that you think off the top of your head there's no chance Toronto could beat Washington. And I kind of agree, but you never know. It's the playoffs.
That would be a hell of a series. I just want to say really quickly that you kind of pick your poison here, because while I think that the Rangers, I mean, barring a complete meltdown from Lundqvist, like a multi-month meltdown, I don't think...
Aren't we in that? I don't know.
No, you know what I mean. Like right a complete like falling off the face of the earth. I don't see them slipping to the second wild card. I just think that there are too many borderline playoff teams for that second wild card slash 2-3 seeds in the Atlantic, right? So you're talking about Toronto in the second wild card, and that they're 8 points behind us with two games in hand. But, I mean, they're also 1 point behind Boston with five games in hand on them.
Right.
And Boston's sitting in that three seed. So I think it's more likely right now that Toronto finishes in the Atlantic as either the two or three, because I don't see them catching Montreal.
Washington fans are praying that they get Boston instead of Toronto.
Oh, yeah. They would love to see Boston or maybe Philly.
Even Ottawa.
One of those teams. Yeah. I mean, I just think that the Rangers' floor is higher than that second wild card, because I feel like it's just a bunch of borderline – I mean, they're not great teams, all those teams battling for the second wild card. So barring like a real meltdown, I think the Rangers, the offense keeps them in games. And with Ronta coming back and hopefully Hank finding his rhythm again, big hope. I just see them continuing to play at least the top wild card spot. And that would be a pretty nice place to finish, because then you are into the territory of where the Islanders ended up getting last year when they tanked at the end of the year. And being in the Atlantic half of the bracket. So, again, we just lost to Montreal, but would you rather play Montreal or would you rather play Washington? Would you rather play Montreal or Columbus or Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
So, clearly you want – I mean, essentially you want the Canadiens. because that half of the bracket is just going to be an easier path to the final or to breaking through and getting to that second round. So I just think that – but I do like Toronto. I agree with you that I think that they will be in the mix, and it's great to see that. It's great. I mean, all these young guys, Marner and Matthews is just a monster. And Riley got hurt, but he's been great. Gardner's good, and Freddie Anderson's been solid. I mean, they're exciting, and it's good for the league when Toronto's playing good hockey.
Yeah, and so speaking of that, we'll cut right into St. Louis because we only got a few minutes left here. Yeah. So St. Louis is bad this year. They have a minus 13 differential, 51 points. They're first in the wild card in the West right now. I think that team is starting to realize they might not have what it takes. They're not quite the same team they were last year for whatever reason because nothing's really changed. But Shattenkirk. So Shattenkirk is, you know, been talked about in Ranger World for about 3 years. You know, he's going to be a free agent. Do they deal him at the deadline now that they realize their team's not very good? And, you know, as we always say in the West, are you going to beat Chicago? No, they're not going to beat Chicago. So
slash Minnesota.
So, yes. Well, I still say Chicago. I'm sticking to that. But yeah, Minnesota's a great team. Do they try to deal Shattenkirk? There's been sort of a little bit of talk about Shattenkirk going to Toronto, who clearly needs some defense. Obviously, Shattenkirk wants to go to New York. He's always wanted to go to New York. Can the Rangers make that happen at the deadline? Should they let it happen at the deadline? It's all kind of up in the air.
The big question is the should question. We are going to get really, really in-depth on Kevin Shattenkirk really soon. We want to do a nice little trade deadline episode. Needs and wants and weathers and shoulds for the Rangers. But really quickly, I just want to shout out to Kevin Shattenkirk because, first off, his Twitter handle, do you know what it is?
I know it's New York something. I remember...
It's at ShatDeuces, which is just a great handle.
I thought it was New York something.
It is. Right. That's his description. So the first four words of his description are New Yorker at heart. And then he says, proud to be a Terrier defenseman for the Blues. So he's not even proud to be on the Blues, pretty much. And he's talking about being a New Yorker at heart. And I know Darren Dreger, actually came out with a piece this week talking about possible destinations. And he's mentioning the Northeast because, again, he's a Northeast guy and he wants to play in the East. He wants to be a New York Ranger. Like, let's be honest. He's from New Row and he's from the area and he loves coming back. And I mean, he's a New Yorker at heart, like he says. So I really do think, and my mindset has kind of changed a little bit. I mean, I just think that the way that the Metro is playing and just the outlook on the rest of the season and the potential playoff matchups, I think that they need to be all in on Kevin Shattenkirk. I mean, you don't want to mortgage the future and, you know, you don't want to give up too much. But and also you have to think about the money concerns because the cap hit and everything like that. But well, again, we'll get into it later, but my feelings are definitely leaning towards, I mean, you got to go get this guy if you really want to compete for a cup. But
yeah, you mentioned the Northeast, so real quickly, just run it down. I mean, Boston, he's not going to Boston.
Boston will be in the – they'll be in talks, though. But
right, but he's not going to go to Boston. He's not going to go to the Devils. I really hope he doesn't go to the Islanders. That's just horrendous. No. I mean, who else is left? Pittsburgh? No.
No.
Philly? Absolutely not. So that's
talking about the Red Wings potentially. But I mean, again, I don't know that
they
make a
move. Pretty far from home.
Why would they? They're going to have to give up a lot to trade for Shattenkirk, and they're also probably not even going to make the playoffs this year.
They need to be in rebuild mode, 100%.
Yes, they do. That streak is coming to an end, I think.
Yep.
But anyway, so we'll get into Shattenkirk and more trade deadline discussions in a later time. But yeah, that was our episode for this week. Obviously, you want to see the Rangers play well in this little stretch here before the All-Star game. So yeah, I mean, and again, as we've mentioned, we're going to have some big guests coming on soon. Hopefully some more good news to reveal to you guys. So be sure to keep listening. Tell all your friends. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Real Talk Rangers. Send us messages, any questions, comments, concerns, realtalkrangers@gmail.com. That'll do it for this week. So have a great week. Let's go. Let's fucking go, Rangers. Let's go. Step up, Hank. Let's go. These little town blues. Oh, melting.
up to you. New